we plan one or two holidays a year, and we don't really have the time to put in the effort, necessarily even have the money to be able to do it properly. We try to expose you to a lot of the thinking inside of the travel industry.
Mm-hmm.
We try to expose you to a lot of the places and the things that you could do to make that really worthwhile. And we're doing it with TourVest, of course, and in this case, TourVest Destination Management, which is one of the divisions. And we're going to speak to the CEO there, Martin Viest, who's going to help us out with a bunch of things. But I also want to talk to him because he's the kind of guy who really knows a lot about tourism and about travel. And these are the things we want to expose ourselves to so that we don't make dumb decisions, so that we know a little bit, so that we seem like we can spend our money better, figure out some of the hacks that make it easier for us to travel with ease.
Yeah.
So here he is. He is the CEO of TourVest Destination Management, a member of the TourVest Holdings Executive Committee. He famously started his travel and tourism career as a driver. So you see, here's a guy who is not afraid of hard work, and here he is to join us this morning as the CEO. Martin, it's nice to see you. How are you?
I'm very good. It's early in the morning, and it's raining and foggy where I am, but it's fantastic to be with you this morning. Thank you very much, and thank you for two things. Number one, to describe personalities of CEOs accurately, and for the free history lesson for this morning. So thanks for both of those.
Well, listen, I mean, it is true that you know a certain kind of person is sometimes required to run things, and maybe they don't have all the qualities that Mother Teresa would approve of, but they certainly aren't always an evil dictator either. It's people, it's managing people, and in a position like yours, it's also managing like a lot of expectations, pushing a business in a certain direction that requires energy, and it's a difficult thing to do. And tourism and travel, everybody thinks they know tourism and travel because they've been on a trip. But it's a bloody complicated industry. And when you get into the economics and you get into the people and you get into managing the destinations as you do, it's a hard job.
Yeah, and it's changing so rapidly. I mean, the arrival of the internet, I can't remember, 10, 15 years ago, and then with an accelerated impact in the tourism industry, it's changed our business dramatically. So the division I'm responsible for brings about 300,000 tourists a year to Africa. We've got offices in 7 countries on the African continent. We run just over 300 vehicles all over Africa. And the internet has changed our business dramatically. Gareth, if last time you booked a holiday, the likelihood of you doing it on the internet is quite high. And what we have to do in the area that I'm responsible for is to convince our customer and to convince the consumer that actually dealing with human beings is still the better way of doing your travel than through a digital medium and a computer. And that's changed our life dramatically. It forced us to reinvent ourselves as a business. It actually forced us to go deeper and deeper into more and more complex destinations. So the latest destinations we added to our portfolio has been, for example, Madagascar, with Uganda. And we're busy with various countries in West Africa at the moment, where even Gareth won't go and go on come and book a day, and he'll need somebody to hold his hand. And so complexity is our friend, and service is our friend, and I think that's the important part here. So it's changed dramatically from the days where I was a bus driver. Thanks for reminding me of that.
There's nothing like an origin story, right? We want to know where Spider-Man came from. We want to know is it really true that you did start off as a bus driver?
Yeah, I mean, I could add to that. I studied totally the wrong thing. I thought I was genetically made to become an electrical engineer because my dad was one. And had a phenomenally poor academic record. And when I dropped out of university, I needed to take stock of what I knew. And I'm German, so I speak fluent German, and I speak fluent French. Well, then at least I spoke fluent French. And I knew the country quite well. So as for the first 3 years of my life a tourist, I physically drove buses and gave commentary and acted as a tour guide.
That's bloody amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
You know, these days everybody thinks that they've got a cool story, but to rise to the top of a massive business like TourVest Destination Management when you start off that way, gives a lot of people hope. If you work hard, They say, you know, you'll get ahead, and then you get those negative people who say, no, there's always someone in the way making it impossible for you. You're like a living example of this. I like it.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's hard work. I think sometimes there's also a bit of luck involved. You've got to have people that support you in an organization. But it's certainly time in the saddle and it's experience, but simultaneously you've got to further your education. So whilst my first attempt at tertiary education wasn't that great, at least I had a few more successful events in my life doing that. And I must tell you, the first 3 years in a bus was amongst my favorite years in a bus. I still have a guide license today. I still have a public driving permit, and I still have a permit to drive buses. As a matter of fact, in 2010, when one of our drivers became ill during the FIFA World Cup project, I drove that bus back from the stadium. So I can still
die hard, man. That's awesome. I love it. So you can actually can be called on when there's bullshit going on.
When they shorthand a little bit, yeah.
What does TDM, Destination Management, actually do? What are you guys responsible for, and what is your core business?
I'm gonna try and summarize it briefly because it's quite complex. So firstly, we operate in Namibia, in Botswana, in South Africa, in Mozambique, in Madagascar, in Zanzibar, in Kenya, in Tanzania, Uganda, and soon in West Africa. So those are our areas of operations. Our key business, we've got two core businesses. The one is we call inbound leisure, so people coming inbound. Our main markets are in Europe and the United States. We, as I said earlier on, do about between all those countries between 300,000 and 400,000 passengers a year. That are people from United States and Europe that are having a holiday in Europe, and we do for them whatever they require. So it's either creating a soft-off itinerary with all the bookings that they need, or we take them on one of our vehicles, and our vehicles are highly diverse. We're running these, I don't know if you've been to the Serengeti, we're running over 100 pop-up vehicles in the Serengeti, where the pops up for photography. I don't know if you've seen our overland adventure trucks, they're called Drifters, around Joburg, but I really run across Africa, and you go camping across Africa. It's an amazing product. We run a fleet of Quantums here, and we take overseas tourists on tours through South Africa, buses in Namibia, etc. So that's our one core business. The second core business is sports travel, and Tourist is attached to Tourist Destination Management, and we have two key businesses. The one is called Pure Travel, and we take South Africans skiing, and we take South Africans to Formula One, and we take South Africans to Wimbledon. And last but not least, one of the businesses we're particularly proud of is SA Rugby Travel. It's a joint venture with SARU, and we do anything to do with the Springboks. So we do Cape Town Sevens. We took just over 5,000 people to France for the Rugby World Cup in France. We do stuff like that. So sports travel and inbound leisure is sort of my daily bread, and it's an amazing place to be.
So apparently you got this Indaba happening in 2024. Where is that, and what does it involve? Who all goes to this thing?
You know, guys, it's an interesting story. So this is my personal 34th Indaba. So Indaba is the travel show piece of South Africa. And of course it was invented in the mid-80s, very long before internet or mobile telephone was invented or any of that. So the only way that you could deal with your customer was around a table, which, by the way, I still much prefer than, and I'm really sad that I couldn't make it to the studio this morning because I prefer face-to-face.
Hey, listen, this rain, you saved yourself some trouble.
100%. So Travel Indaba has been around since the mid-80s, and it is, in essence, is supposed to put together distribution, product, and customer from overseas. So the customers would be the wholesalers that put brochures together, put product of South Africa together. It happens in the second week of May. The first Indaba that I attended, believe it or not, was at the Riverside Holiday Inn in Vanderbijl Park. There were six of us that exhibited, and there was 20 buyers. So there was 26 of us altogether that fitted into the hotel. I'm guessing with a number of exhibitors. My guess is we have somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 exhibitors now. We have between 10,000 and 15,000 buyers now. So Indaba has come a very long way since my very first one at the Holiday Inn in Father Bell Park.
Jeez, that's an incredible story, and shows you how things develop over time. And also you start off thinking, this is very small. Before you know it, it's like become a massive, massive thing. What is your forecast? Because it would be a waste of having you on and not asking you this. For the South African tourism industry in the next 2 years, there's a lot of excitement around what South Africa can offer, what we already offer, what we have the potential to offer. And there are people from all over the world who really love coming here, who've never been here before and want to come here. What do you think the overall forecast is?
So maybe if I frame it a little bit, I mean, South Africa, of course, sits in a competition with other African destinations, and it sits in a competition with global destinations. And a lot of your question to me hinges around how well we are promoting our country overseas, how effective South African tourism is positioning our destination in the face of the consumer. Because at the end of the day, I can't do my job unless a consumer walks into a travel agency or a consumer goes into an online medium and specifically asks to travel to South Africa. For that, we need a very strong consumer drive, and that's the function of South African tourism, and it needs to function well. The second component is, of course, comparative pricing. How competitive is South Africa as a destination? And so I guess over the last 4 or 5 years, and specifically since COVID, what has happened is on the African continent, so the African international traveler, the market share has shifted from south to east. So we've seen substantial growth, particularly in Kenya and in Tanzania, and specifically in Tanzania, because they had different COVID policies to South Africa. They kept their tourism industry open during COVID. So we get on a clawback phase. This year, we're growing back. We, as South Africa, we're not on 2019 level yet, whilst East Africa specifically has exceeded 2019 levels. And we're fighting for our market share. So if you ask me, South African tourism industry for the next 2 years, all things being equal, the rand staying weak, South African tourism getting their marketing strategies right, my view is that by the end of 2025, we should be back at 2019 levels and then have gradual growth from there, because excessive growth is impossible. We don't have the capacity in this country. Firstly, we don't have air capacity. I don't know if you've been on an aircraft lately. They're largely full.
Yeah.
So a full aircraft doesn't allow for more tourists to come, so it doesn't allow for tourism growth. So we need more air capacity to South Africa. We need more game lodge activity. We're already now running into problems for winter 2025 where you can't find availability in game lodges.
Really?
We need more coaches. We need more tour guides. You can't find German-speaking tour guides. There's not a week that goes past to close the circle that I don't get a phone call from somebody that clearly doesn't know what I do for a living, that doesn't want me to go and guide for them on a German-speaking tour, which I find always very humorous. And I'm always tempted to go on a nice German-speaking tour. We need promotion, and then we can outgrow where we are. Pardon me, Gareth.
No. You've just told us about a huge gap. So if there's someone who really wants to get into tourism, just do a German course, and you'll find a job easily.
Or Italian, or any of the languages that French, Italian, German would be a good departure point with a smithering of English thrown in.
Very good. I love it. Listen, Martin, very good to have you on. And thank you very much for sharing some of your expertise and your experience with us. It's really helpful to know these things. Also, for many of us who think that the tourism industry is so complicated, you helped to explain some of these nuances to us. Things like planes coming in, being full, and how we don't have capacity to grow exponentially. There are certain things that you've got to practically understand to know how much money the country can make out of tourism, and you've helped us understand that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think lastly, Mary, if I can say, tourism has got the cunning ability to create jobs in the right way. And I know that you've had conversations with Mone, and Mone's business is very different from TTS. It's very different insofar as its call centers are in the big cities. what inbound leisure does, what tourist destination management does, that tourism happens in rural South Africa. It happens in the remote areas of South Africa. And hence, inbound tourism, and not only what tourist does, but what inbound tourism does, creates employment and creates job opportunities and creates entrepreneurial opportunities in rural South Africa, and inadvertently reverses some of the urbanization that we have that can't be healthy for the country. So for many, many, many reasons, tourism is a fantastic industry for a country and should deserve a better focus than it currently gets.
I like it. Thank you so much for helping us. And good luck to you and tourism destination management at Tourvest. Very good. Thank you, Martin Wiest, the CEO, this morning, our guest.